I don't know about you, but in the wake of or as COP26 continues, I've been trying to shop in a way that is more conducive to greener living. And, you know, it's not easy because it can be a little overwhelming because we're presented with a world of choice and buzzwords. As COP26 continues in Glasgow this week, I spoke to Harriet Hurst, who is the co-founder of Always Forever Green. This is a platform which stocks products with purpose, as they call them, and the aim is to make it easier for consumers to make greener choices. The project was started by like-minded mothers who decided to be the change they wanted to see.
We are just three professional mums, and one of us was having a children's party. And you just suddenly, when you're sort of organising these things, you just realise how much waste is involved. You know, you've got the plastic straws, the plates, the decorations. So we started looking into alternatives. And then very quickly realised there is so many environmentally friendly businesses out there, but it's not in all in one place. So it was a bit of a minefield. You know, you'd look there, then you'd find another one here. So then it just came about, and alwaysforevergreen.com was born with the idea that it would be a one-stop shop. So you can shop knowing that all our partners are vetted, and it just makes it easier for everybody. You know, we wanted to make it easier for ourselves, but also possible for everyone. So you're not spending time looking around, and you have the confidence knowing on Always Forever Green that everything has been vetted already.
It sounds to me like an episode of Motherland, or maybe that they missed out
on
this storyline, Harriet.
It is a bit like that. Literally, it was round the kitchen table having a cup of coffee. And yeah, there it was, you know, three mums chatting, working out the best solutions for things.
Well, there are a couple of interesting points raised from what you've said, and especially where you mentioned vetting, because this is a difficult world to navigate if you're not used to it, because we hear all the buzzwords. You know, we're surrounded by them every day. You know, this is environmentally friendly, this is reusable, this is recyclable, this is organic. But how do you manage greenwashing? And I suppose greenwashing is the form of marketing spin which PR and marketing can deceptively use to persuade the public that the product's aims and policies are environmentally friendly. So how can you be completely sure that your products are what they say they are, they claim to be?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of our partners, business partners, Lisa, she is an expert in the environment. And it's, you know, she's been a CEO of a company, environmental company, for many years. So what we actually do is anytime a partner wants to join us, they have to fill in an application form, which is then audited. They are then awarded one, two or three leads, depending on where they are on their sustainable journey. Because I think it's important for us to be aware that, you know, a lot of brands might be on a journey to sustainability, but they might not be there yet. So, you know, part of what we want to do is build a community, guide them and help them and give them ideas on how to become more environmentally friendly. So every time you come onto the site and you find something that you like, you can see if that brand has one, two or three leaves. So that's the auditing that we're constantly doing to make sure that everybody does fulfill the correct criteria.
And in your opinion, is there enough regulation in this area to help combat greenwashing and to help the consumer to make the more sustainable, eco-friendly choice?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is, I think it's getting better all the time, but obviously it takes a lot of vetting. So, you know, you need to be on it all the time, because you'll have someone say that their product is organic or whatever, but then when you look further in, then it's not. So you have to be on top of it and making sure, you know, for an example, you know, one of the things that we're running for Christmas is to do a green Christmas challenge. So, you know, you're swapping some items, but you know, you might think a candle, for example, is environmentally friendly, but actually a lot of candles are made from paraffin wax, which emits a large amount of particle pollution when it's burned. So, you know, but going onto our site, you can find that actually we've got some candles made from plant wax, for example, and in a recycled tumbler. So it's very much keeping on top of it all the time.
You just have to really think about absolutely everything you're buying, which I'm sure an awful lot of people could find exhausting, especially in the run-up to Christmas. And you mentioned that your Green Christmas Challenge. Can you tell me a wee bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So it's a, well, it's the Green Christmas Challenge. And the idea is to swap four products that you would maybe buy normally. Like, for example, I said the candles, or, you know, if you've got children, you might be looking at buying a playhouse for them. And, you know, you could swap that by buying one of our eco party playhouses, for example, which the children can decorate, because I think it's about an average of 29%. It's on the, in the UK household is spending on gifts and celebrations. And if we can just switch, you know, a couple of those every time, you know, it's about a journey for us to try and make things, you know, every little bit counts, and just trying to make it easy for everybody.
Yeah, I noticed a few people on Twitter discussing Christmas presents at the weekend, and they were saying that they have tried to buy gifts and toys, particularly secondhand, and tried to make that decision going forward at Christmas. Do you think that's something that people might do this Christmas, particularly given everything that's happening with COP26 at the moment?
Yeah, I'd really hope so. I mean, it's certainly something that I'm going to do with my children, you know, because I think, number one, I don't want all of that stuff in my house.
Yeah.
But, you know, also, I think you have to just keep doing your bit. And, you know, my children, they see things. I think, you know, kids are bad for it, aren't they? You know, the marketing out there, you know, they see this and it's glitzy and it's that. But actually, if you bought, for example, you know, an eco playhouse, they'll have much more fun decorating it, you know, enjoying it. And it's something that can be done as a family altogether.
Well, you know, just on that, and, you know, you're talking about eco options. Is it expensive to go green? You know, it seems to be something that keeps coming up. People say that they buy cheap clothes from big stores because the sustainable shops and products are just out of their budget. You know, somebody wants to pick me up, and an £8 pair of pyjamas gives them that comfort, that pick me up that they need, as opposed to spending £40 on a pair of more ethically made pyjamas. What are the affordable steps that people can take for those who don't have that much disposable income?
Well, I think you have to look at it two ways. I think the first instance, you have to look at it as an investment. You know, for example, we've got reusable kitchen roll on our website. You know, if I'm going to buy kitchen roll every week, you know, you use it once, you throw it in the bin. If I've got reusable kitchen roll, that's going to last me a year, maybe more, because you just chuck it in, you know, chuck it in the wash, and it's keep using it rather than just buying something and throwing away. And that's the same, for example, with water bottles. You know, you don't need to buy a plastic water bottle. Have a water bottle that's reusable. Fill it up. You know, it doesn't have to be expensive. And I think on the topic of clothing and fashion, I think we have to really think to ourselves, if I'm going to go and buy something for £2, I mean, how can you buy something for £2 and think that that's going to be ethical? Because nothing that you can buy for £2 is going to be, you know, made in a sustainable way, or, you know, you really need to, I think it's about, you know, starting to make those little steps to try, you know, so maybe you can't afford to do one thing at the moment, but you could do something else. And I think that's how we have to try and change our mindsets, to think about it as a future investment rather than the here and now.
But I do wonder about the people maybe who don't even have that £2 to make that decision, you know, and how they can be more environmentally conscious when their biggest issue and their biggest worry is trying to put food on the table.
Yeah, sure. Well, then I think we come back to the reusing, you know, what we have, and, you know, looking at pre-loved items. You know, there's no reason why you can't recycle items you have. And, you know, there's great other places that you can go and, you know, do swaps, you know, you swapping things. I mean, there's some great options to do, you know, swapping clothes nowadays, and, you know, passing things down. You know, I very rarely buy new clothes for my children now. It's all kind of hand-me-downs from various things. And I think that's something to think about as well.
That's Harriet Hurst from alwaysforevergreen.com talking to me about choices we can make in order to live a little bit more sustainably.